Say this with me. Say, I stay steady. During these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way, God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of everything I find out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are with you. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you believe that? Amen. Praise God. Then it's yours. Amen. It's yours. You have it. Now, what I want to do, first of all, preliminaries. My name is William Floyd. I'm an elder with the ministry of RLCC. My wife is here, Elder Valerie. We've had the opportunity to be in the first service here. We were in the very first service. This place was packed. We were on building. And everybody got so excited that at 12 o'clock? The service started at 7. But everybody didn't get out to almost 12 o'clock. By the time 12 o'clock came, the lights went out in the parking lot and all around. We didn't know where the light switches were. So we had to find our way to our car. But it's a blessing to be here. It's an honor to be here to share with you the living word of God. Today, as I said earlier in the beginning of the service, today is what? Palm Sunday, right? Now, traditionally, Palm Sunday, at the end of the service, churches always give you this as you're going out the door, right? Now, there's a reason for that, because I had my sons when they were little, and if they would have given it to us during the service, the kids would have made swords at them and start sword fighting, or people would have been poking people in the eye, or people just leave them all over the place. So pastors are smart, and churches are smart. They figure they give it to you as you're going out the door. That way you don't leave it behind, right? But how many of you are going to take yours with you, right? Now, remember I told you, I said there's nothing magical in this thing, okay? Nothing. So if you want to make a cross out of it, ain't going to do nothing. If you want to put it on your door, if you don't lock the door, somebody's coming in. You want to put this in your car? Okay, put it in your car. But, it's not an alarm. Amen? But today what we're going to do is the Spirit of God had me to share a message with you, because a lot of today, traditionally, people hear Palm Sunday messages, right? So you're going to get a Palm Sunday message. But what you're going to get is a message that God has given me to share with you specifically. He says specifically for this group. Amen? So this message is for you. Never did this before, but this one's for you. Amen? So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark. Before we turn there, turn to John. John chapter 3. You know, there's certain things that we do because directed by the Spirit of God, and it's not a traditional thing, it's directed by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God spoke many years ago to our pastors. They said, don't begin any teaching in our services when we were encouraged by the Holy Ghost that every lesson before we begin, we read this, John chapter 3, verse 16. Is everyone there? John chapter 3, verse 16. Are you there with me? I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with us, okay? Amen. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what did God do in that verse? No, he loved. God did what? He loved, right? Who did he love? He loved the world. See, we read that sometimes this way. God so loves the Christians. Right? And we always think about that. God so loved. But the truth of the matter is, God so loved what?
The world.
The world. Now, God did not love the terra firma, the planet. He didn't love the cosmos, what he calls a system. But God loved who? The people. God loved the people where? In the world. Now, I want you to think about a group of people. I don't care who they are. In your mind, think about a group of people right now. God loves them. You understand that? God so loved what? What did he do? He gave. So in other words, the highest expression of love is what? Giving, right? But God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. But what did he give? His only begotten son. You know, God wasn't like Charlie Chan. He had number one son, number two son, number three son, and he sent one out. He had only one son. His only begotten son. God so loved that he did what? Gave his only begotten son. Now, what was the condition? What was the condition? That whosoever. Who's a whosoever? Are you a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. Everybody is a whosoever. But what does a whosoever have to do? Believe what? That God sent him, his son. And whoever believes in him, what happens? Should not perish, but have what?
Everlasting
life. Now, how many of you know that? Okay, now, you are qualified to minister the gospel to people. It's all in that one verse. Notice it didn't say if you were good, if you came from this area, if you came from that area, if you had this type of education, or if you came from this bad situation and came over this good situation, if you had this good... What does it say? God so loved the world that he gave. So all they have to do is what? Believe and receive. Amen. Good. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Mark, the 11th chapter. How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? How many of you brought your iPads this morning? How many of you brought yourselves this morning? All right, good. Praise God. Turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to go through some passages of scripture, laying a foundation for what I'm going to talk to you this morning about. Mark chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. I'm reading from the King James because that's the Bible I have in front of me. But if you have another translation, please read along with me. And let's read. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. And he said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, thereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord has what?
Need
of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Now that was Jesus speaking to these two, right? Giving them instructions. And when they went their way, they found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him, they untied him, right? And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing this coat, this colt? And he said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and what did they do? They cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him, right? Now follow this along. And many spread their garments in the ways. Others did what? Cut down branches off the trees and straw them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying what?
Hosanna.
What were they saying?
Hosanna.
Let me hear it.
Hosanna.
Say it again.
Hosanna.
Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, now hold it there. Now, that word Hosanna. Turn to Psalm 118, the 118th Psalm. See, they weren't doing this out of a ritual. This wasn't a ritual. This was something that was already forecast. I remember many years ago, Pastor Clinton, one of our founding pastors, he said this. He says, God forecasts, then he fulfills, right? Now, in Psalm 118, look at verse 26. And it says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So in other words, what they were doing when Jesus was entering, they were saying, they were singing a song. This is a song. So they put down the branches, and I'm going to tell you what these represent, and they were singing a song. And they were singing, blessed be he that comes, how? In the name of the Lord. Now notice this. I'm going to paint a picture for you. Jesus coming in, we call it the triumphal entry, right? This was not the first time that the presence of God was coming into Jerusalem. The first time this happened was in 2 Samuel. Don't turn there, but I'm just for references. In 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, the Ark of the Covenant was going, David commanded that the Ark of the Covenant come into Jerusalem, right? Because up until that time, it was in another person's house named Obed-Edom. But the Bible says this, as long as that ark was in the house of Obed-Edom, his house was blessed. So now David made the commandment, bring the ark to Jerusalem. He did something very interesting. As the ark was making its way into Jerusalem, I want you to picture Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city set on a hill. And as this ark was coming in, David, the king of Israel, was in front of it. And he wasn't in front of it just standing like this. The Bible says David began to dance before the Lord with all his might. He danced before the Lord. But there was something interesting about David he had on. He had on the linen ephod. That was only supposed to be worn by the priest. But David was dancing before the Lord with the ephod on. And his wife was looking and saying, look at him. He's making a fool of himself. Right? But what was happening was David was worshiping and praising because the ark represented the presence of God now coming into Jerusalem. Praise and worship, say this with me, say praise and worship,
praise and worship.
Always precedes his presence. Always remember that. Praise and worship always precedes his presence. Now the ark of the covenant represented the presence of God. But now we see here on this day, what we call Palm Sunday, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. It's not only the presence of God, but now the person of God is coming in. The person of God, I want you to get a picture of this. The person of God coming into the place of God, Jerusalem, right? The person of God coming to the place of God, but more importantly, coming to the people of God. Now let's turn to another translation. Let's look at another account. Amen, shall we? Turn to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 21. We're looking at the same account, but let's see how Matthew records it. Matthew chapter 21. Okay, let's see. And let's begin at verse 1. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Let's read verses 1 through 9. Amen? Are you there? Okay, let's read it. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent his two disciples, once again, right, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass, or that means a donkey, that doesn't mean a person, an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man shall have aught against you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of him. Say that, say the Lord, has need of him. You know, I do that a lot in the church, you know, when I need to borrow something and people, you know, people over something, what do you need? I said, the Lord has need of it, and I take it. But then I bring it back. So always remember that. Bring it back, okay? The Lord has need of it, and straightway he will send them. All this, verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting on an ass, or a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Verse 8, and a great multitude spread their garments in the ways. Others did what? Cut down branches from the trees. And did what? Laid them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed, they cried saying what?
Hosanna.
Okay, now you got, this is your cue now. I want you to have your cue. And they cried saying what?
Hosanna.
There you go. To the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Say it again. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
In the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved saying, who is this? Right? And look at what they said. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, let's hold it for a minute here in this account. Notice what he said. The multitude said, who is this? The reply was what? Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth in Galilee. Turn to Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 62. Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. And look at verse 11. Isaiah 62, verse 11 says this. Once again, this is the prophet forecasting, right? He says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isn't that interesting? He forecast that. Now let's look at another prophet. Turn to Zechariah. Zechariah. That's next to Haggai, where Deacon Shirley sent us, right? So if you remember where Haggai was, you're close to Zechariah, okay? Zechariah 9:9. I'll read it for you for time's sake. The prophet says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having what? Salvation and lowly and riding upon a donkey or an ass and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. So here it is. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that the Messiah was going to come. They knew this, right? So Jesus is the person that's coming, right? Now, let's look at this same account. Let's go over to Luke. Turn to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And this is going to be the launching point because I wanted to lay a little foundation to show you how each and every one of them, each and every one of the gospel writers had an account of this. But let's look at what Luke has to say. And this is where we're going to focus in on this morning. Amen? So Luke chapter 19, pick it up at verse 28. Verse 28. Okay? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, and let's read. And when he had thus spoken, he went before as ascending up to Jerusalem. Okay? And it came to pass when he was come nigh unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent the two, right, his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied thereon, yet never a man sat on him. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. I think it's interesting. Jesus told them where to go and told them where that donkey was going to be or that colt was going to be, right? He told them exactly what it was going to be. And look at it. The colt was never sat on by a man. Now, what are the odds of that in a place where they had no cars, right? They had no scooters. So what they went by was horses, right, or donkeys. What are the odds of that? What are the odds, right? But do you know God has a specific place, a specific purpose, a specific people that he has already prescribed things for? So here it is, even down to a donkey, even down to a colt. These are like little donkeys and colts, right? So now they went, right? Let's keep on going, right? Now, where would I live? Okay. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt. And they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, right? And when he was come nigh, even into the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to do what? Rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they have seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh. You hear that? The King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now look at verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. You know, you're always going to have a bunch of religious folks that when you're rejoicing, when you're praising God, they're going to tell you, tone it down, man. Turn it down. you know, don't make all that noise, right? But now listen to what Jesus' response was. And he answered and said unto them, those religious Pharisees, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. But now, verse 41, here's the lesson for this morning. And when he was come near Jesus, he beheld the city. And what did he do? He wept over it. Look at verse 42, saying, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto this thy peace, but now they have been hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within them. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I want to talk to you this morning about the day of visitation. I know many times people think about Palm Sunday and they think about Jesus' triumphal entry, and that is true. And I want you to see how important this is. Now, let me just take a step back here. On Palm Sunday, we commemorate what? Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, right? We all agree to that, right? But now, let's follow this. I want to give you a little, let me just move this back a little bit. I want to give you a little backdrop of what Jesus was doing, what happened as he was moving in. He started, the Bible says they started from Bethphage, right? Bethphage, in the Hebrew, is a word called unripened fig, unripened olives. That was where he sent the men. Remember the two disciples? He sent them to Bethphage. He says, go into Bethphage. You're going to find a colt there. Bring them to me. Meanwhile, they're going. Now, from Bethphage, they're moving over to the next town. The next town is Bethany. Say Bethany. Now they're traveling up. I want you to see this. They're moving up the coast. Now Bethany was a very interesting place. This was the place where he would do a lot of his ministry. It was the place where his friends, you know, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they lived in Bethany. So Jesus visited them frequently. Jesus enjoyed being with them. Okay, he kind of thought of them as his surrogate family. He enjoyed being there. So now he's going from Bethphage. Now they got the donkey. Now they're going to Bethany. And he's going to Bethany. Now the interesting thing about Bethany is, like I told you before, it's where Martha and Mary and Lazarus was. But turn in your Bibles to John. Turn to John chapter 12. Because I want to show you what happened as he's on his way. While he's on his way, he stopped off at Bethany. Look at John chapter 12. Let's look at we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Are you there? I want to paint this picture for you. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which was dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha did what? Serve him. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So get the picture. These are his, like his mother say, his close friends, surrogate family. Martha's serving him, Lazarus sitting at the table. But look at Mary. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, and very costly. And what was she doing? Anointing his feet, the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with what? The odor of the ointment. Now I want to paint a picture for you. Martha was always into doing things, right? You know, Martha was a good ministry of health person, right? If you needed something done, boom, she was there. Jesus came and boom, we got dinner for you. We got lunch. We got it for you. Now, Lazarus was proof of Jesus' ministry. Because the Bible says even after Lazarus was raised from the dead, he wasn't resurrected, he was raised from the dead. The Pharisees were trying to plot a plan to try to kill him, because they figured as long as he was alive, he was a living proof of Jesus' works. So here is one who worked for Jesus, Martha, one who was proof of his work, but then Mary. Mary was the one. Remember when Martha was complaining? Remember she said, Jesus, you know, like sometimes we do. Jesus, we see people, they ain't doing enough. You know, they're not helping out. They're not pulling their share. But what was Jesus' remark to Martha? He said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things. He said, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now, what was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was listening to every word he says. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I mean, work will get done, things will get done, but we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, what Mary did was she took something that was precious to her. It was very costly, because remember, Judas says that. He says, Master, we could have got a lot of money for that. But the Bible says he was lying, right? Because he was a thief, and he figured he could sell it and make money for himself. But Jesus says something very important. Look at verse 7 in that same chapter. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. So in other words, Mary knew that this was the last time she was going to see Jesus, because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This was his last stop. I want you to understand. I want you to get the humanity of Jesus. This was his last stop before he was going to Jerusalem. Because then he went up to Jerusalem, right? But then when he was in Jerusalem, what happened? He went up to another place. He went up to Golgotha. Do you see it? But let's get back to this story, because we're talking about the entry, right? Now let's keep on going here, right? Jesus wept, right? Remember I said Jesus wept because of what? Follow this. Jesus, go back to Luke. Now, before we get to Luke, turn to Luke 19 again. I'm painting this picture because I want to paint the picture before we go all the way deep into it. Now, Mary anoints his feet, right? Now, Jesus is going. Now keep this in mind. Jesus is on a path, right? This is the final week of his ministry. He's entering, and when he entered into Jerusalem, it wasn't just on a happenstance day. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, the prophet Daniel, he prophesied that Messiah, he prophesied, first of all, 70 weeks, right, of Israel being under Gentile dominion. He said, but in the 69th week, Messiah will be cut off. From the time of that prophecy, right, each week represented 7 days, right? So 7 times 69 is how much, my math majors? Who's a math major here? Who's got a calculator? Who's got their phone on? Okay, I did it for you. 69 times 7 is 483. So from the time Daniel received that prophecy while in exile to the day and the year that Messiah was going to be cut off was exactly 483 years. So you see how God forecasts and he's fulfilling. God is fulfilling a plan. Now, Jesus is coming, right? Now, in this week, he did several things. I want you to note this. Number one, he cleared the temple. He instituted the new covenant of communion. He provided what we call his high priest intercessory prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was also betrayed. So if you think you've been betrayed, he'd been betrayed, right, by Judas. He became a political prisoner. Remember with Pilate? He was falsely accused. He was tortured, beat repeatedly. He was mocked by his accusers and the crowd. He suffered humility and shame. He was also crucified. Don't you know that crucifixion was a shameful means of execution? That was reserved for thieves. Thieves and outcasts were crucified. So he was subject to that, right? With all that being said and done, and that's why I always think to myself, you know, not one group has always been tortured. Not one group has always been subjugated. The history of the world is everyone at one point in time or another was enslaved, tortured, beaten, and there was injustice. You know, we say no peace, no justice. Jesus could have said that too. He had no peace, no justice. He was falsely accused. So he was acquainted, as a prophet Isaiah said, he was acquainted with our feelings. He understood what we're going through. That's why Jesus understands when you feel you've been unjustly accused. He understands it. He had the same. But notice this. With all that being said, being crucified, his last words on that cross was this. It's recorded in John chapter 19, verse 30. You don't have to turn there. He said it this way. He said, "It is finished." So in other words, he finished the course, right? But now let's go back to where we are in our account. Go back to Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 41. "And when he was come near, he did what? He beheld the city." So in other words, he came up. He's coming to Jerusalem. Now he's coming with what? What is Jesus coming with? What did the prophets say that the Messiah would come with? Salvation. He's coming to bring salvation. But who's he coming to bring salvation to? God's people. God promised these people salvation. He's coming to bring salvation to God's covenant people. Now let me give you something to think about. Were they rejoicing? No, were they rejoicing when he came in the gate? Did they lay the stuff down? Was they banging on the tambourine? Bang on the tambourine for me. Where's the one with the tambourine lady? Bang on it. Brand new. Bang on it. Oh, bang one more time. Yeah. See, all that was going on. They were waving the palms. They were saying Hosanna. And they know Hosanna means he who comes in the manner and save in which the manner you can save. So they all knew. This wasn't like he snuck in and they didn't know what was going on. They knew who he was. He was coming to those whom he promised. But what did Jesus do? He wept. Now let's see, why did he weep? He says it right here. He says, "If thou hast known, even least this day, the things which belong to you." Now here's what I want to say to you. What happened to Israel was this. They had all the externals going. And that's what religion will give you. Religion will give you all the externals. They had the action going on. But what happened was, the reality was, they didn't mix what they saw with faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Keep your place there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Because the writer of Hebrews says something very important. He says, verse 2, look at verse 2, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, hold your place in Luke chapter 19. Look what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," referring to Israel, "but the word preached did not profit them, not being" what? "Mixed with" what? "With faith in them that heard it." So in other words, it's very important. See, I want to paint a picture for you. God was coming to his covenant people. He was coming bringing salvation. But you know what? When he came and saw them, what did he do? He wept because of their unbelief. Because they did not mix faith with what they heard. And then he went on to tell them what was going to happen to Jerusalem, right? But now look down at verse 44. And he says this, I like this. He says, "Because thou knewest not the time of your visitation." See, this was a covenant people that did not know the time of their visitation. And the Bible says this, and Jesus says it, because of spiritual blindness, they could not see. They could not see the fact that here was the one coming that the scriptures foretold, Messiah coming. They knew that when Messiah would come, salvation would be theirs. But you know what happened? They started to look around. So let's face it, let's put it this way. That Sunday he came in, right? And they're shouting his praises, right? But by the end of the week, what were they saying? Crucify, crucify him. That's why we can't go by the opinions of people. People's opinions don't count. You know, politicians do it, but we don't. We go with what the word of God says, amen? Now, let's keep on going with this, okay? Now, here it is, Jesus, right? On the day of visitation, this was foretold what would happen. Now, I want you to get a picture of this, because this is the message for us this morning. Because if all we remember is Jesus came in and he laid down the branches and we got our branches, we went home. If that's all you're remembering for today, then I failed. And every pastor, every preacher failed, if that's all you're going to remember. But here's what I want you to remember. The promise of God was coming to the people of God. And Jesus, in this case, wept. But now let me ask you this. The promise of God, let's put ourselves in that place. Instead of Israel, put yourself here and Jesus coming to you. He's coming to you with healing. This morning, he's coming to some of you with healing. This morning, Jesus is coming to some of you with salvation. He's coming with salvation. To some of you this morning, Jesus is coming with your finances. He's coming with solution to your finances. He's coming with it. To some of you this morning, Jesus is coming letting you know his plan for your life. He's coming to let you know. This is your day of visitation. See, theirs was a specific day. Ours is now. Faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. That's not faith. Faith is not in the future. The Bible says this, now faith is. You see that? Now faith is. Now, if you want Jesus to be happy as he's bringing this to you, how are we going to have to receive it? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see this. I know this is an unusual message. It's unusual for me too, but I'm following the lead of the Spirit of God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 6. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must do what? Believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to see this. Israel's eyes were blinded, right? But the church, Paul the apostle said this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. See, it's going to take enlightened eyes to understand God's plan and what God wants to do for you. Because right now, the day of visitation for you is right now. Some of you here this morning, and some that are listening to this tape, you're believing God for your healing. You're believing God for the manifestation. Let's put it this way. You're believing God for the manifestation of your healing. But I got news for you. Your healing, is your day of visitation is today and right now. Jesus is coming with that to you. But what you have to do is receive it how? By faith. Not by feelings. Never go by feelings. By faith. Now, if I'm standing in faith, and Jesus is bringing me the promise that he's promised me, is he going to be coming weeping? He's going to come how? Rejoicing. So, church, I want to ask you this question. The day of visitation. I want to ask you this question. For this morning, if you're in need of salvation, come down here right now. If you need salvation, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, come down here right now. He'll meet you. He'll meet you right now. Come. I know there's someone here. Come. And we come in faith, okay? I'm also going to say this. If you're in need of healing, manifestation, we're talking about manifestation now. If you're in need of manifestation of your healing, come down here right now. Jesus is going to meet you right here now. Remember, by faith, not by sight. Don't look and see who's coming, who's not coming. That's not going to help you. If you're here this morning and you have financial needs, he's here to meet them right now. Come right down here. Jesus is going to meet you right here, right now. Come down here right now. And remember, it's all by faith, not by sight. If you're here this morning, and you want to know God's will for your life, God's plan for your life, because you've been floundering in and out, come down here now. He's going to meet you. He's going to meet you right now. If you're here this morning, and I left this one out. When God visits us, I want to share this with you, because he shared this with me several years ago. Keep coming while I'm talking. Jesus told me, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost told me this several years ago while in prayer. He said this to me. He said, because you set your love on me, that's what he told me. He said, I will visit your children. I will visit your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And then he clarified it to me. He said, listen, when I come to visit, see, when God comes to visit, it's not like you're going to, like you've got somebody over for tea and it's a social. And he's going to come in and sit down at the table and sip tea with you. He ain't going to visit like that. When God visits, he visits three ways. He visits with salvation. He visits with deliverance. And also he visits to let you know what your divine destiny is. Amen.